Church, it's great to see you. I am so thankful that you're able to be with us today. I'm so thankful that we have had an opportunity to go to Bible class, to be able to open the Word of God, study it together, grow in our faith, grow in our grip, strengthen our grip on our faith, so that we can come in here and worship together. If you are visiting with us, please know how special you are to us. We appreciate you very much. We ask that you will come back and be a part of our services here at Azalea City anytime that you can. And that if you'll just stick around just a little bit today so that we can get to know you all. Today's lesson is one that I think will, again, be challenging to us. It will be reminders to us, and it will be, hopefully, an encouragement to us. As I think about our life, and I think about where we are, we have a tremendous opportunity right now. Everywhere we go, everybody we come around, and everybody that we bump into, to be the church of our Lord. You see, I know that that probably goes without saying. I know that that's one of those, no kidding, Terry, we know we are to be the church. But a lot of times, what we find is we go to church. That's the way we think about it. I'm going to go to church. For me, what that, if I think about it hard enough, if I say, hey, I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm not going to go and pick Walmart up, put it on my back, and wear it all the time. I'm going to go to Walmart, do what I have to do, and heaven knows I want to leave Walmart, right? I hope that that attitude doesn't creep into this church. I'm going to go to church, and then I'm going to leave church. You see, I can't leave Jesus Christ if I want to be what God wants me to be. I can't go to church and just leave the cares of the church behind. I want you to know that me personally, and I know I can speak for our elders and many, many others here at this church, we take these concerns with us all the time. But it's even more than that. We live in a time when there's a lot of darkness everywhere. There's darkness in our classrooms. There's darkness at our workplace. There's darkness at our grocery stores. There's darkness at wherever we go. There's darkness. But the good news is we are the light. And what God has demanded of us is to let our light shine so that others may see our good works but glorify the Father in heaven. If I am going to truly let this little Christian light of mine shine, then I can't just come here today, get checked off a roll, be seen by some that matter, and leave here and not be the church. Today, my challenge to all of us is to not go to church, but to be the church. In Matthew chapter 16, I appreciate Harrison coming and reading to us from Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. What he read to us was a moment in time that needs to be talked about in schools. It needs to be put in courthouses. It needs to be put at workplaces. It needs to be put wherever we go. But certainly, it doesn't get the luster that a lot of other famous sayings get. But here's what this famous saying reminds us of. Jesus is having a conversation with His disciples. And these are the disciples that are going to take and help grow the kingdom and bring it into existence. He asked, who do others say that I am? They spoke up and say, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are one of the other prophets. And Jesus looked at him and remember now, he needs these men to go and literally turn the world upside down in a few days. He looked at him and he said, but who do you say that I am? And I love that it was Peter who spoke up. Again, Peter spoke up and acted up and did all kinds of things when he should have shut up. But on this occasion, he was exactly right. He said, we say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's when Jesus said to Peter, and I say that you are Peter. You are son of Jonah. You are Simon. But today, you are Peter. And Peter, based on this, based on what? That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I want you to know something today, church. That the church of our Christ will always exist. They may shut doors to this building. They may shut doors to that building. They may shut doors to this building. But the church of Christ will always exist. And because of that, we have a tremendous responsibility today to not go to church, but be the church of our Lord. Peter. Mark 1 verse 16 reminds us of this. Let's talk about him for a moment. And as he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now fast forward to John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. I suggest to you one of those was John, the writer of this gospel. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Okay, let's pause in the life of Peter for a moment. Why was Peter going fishing? Well, it's what he knew. It's probably what he felt he was good at. It was his job. It was his responsibility. In Mark chapter 1, he had left the nets. Now he's gone back to them. You know why? Because in between there, in between that occasion when he said, I say you are the Christ, in between that occasion when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in between that occasion when he took his sword and swung for Malchus's ear and cut his ear off and Jesus rebuked him, in between all that, you know what Peter did? He denied him just like Jesus said he would. I don't know the man, I don't know the man, I don't know the man. And the rooster crows. Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. And now all this time has passed. Jesus is not in the grave. He knows that. But Peter, probably having some, boy, I certainly blew that moment in his life, he said, forget it all, I'm just going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. It might have been a good thing. Who knows what Peter was really thinking on this occasion. They went out and immediately got into the boat. Peter's been here before, and that night they caught nothing. Boy, isn't it ironic the way he met is the way he re-met. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, probably grumpily is what I would think. In a grumpy, tired, all white, not, no. They answered him in unison almost.
it seems. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. You remember when he cast the nets the first time. Launch into the deep, he said. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple, this is how I know John was one of those, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. He knew, he remembered. And by the way, I guarantee you Peter did too. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus already had some fish. But he goes on to tell them, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, here it is, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He, being Jesus, said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah. Remember, it was Simon Bar-Jonah in Matthew 16. Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. You know what Jesus was really saying to Peter? Peter, I need you to be the church. Peter, I need you to get your mind right. Peter, I need you to get your mind around this. The most important event in history happened when I resurrected myself from the grave. But the next most important event is about to happen. When the power comes, you will be opening the doors to the kingdom. He said all of that when he told him, feed, tend, and feed. In order for us to move forward today and be the church, we must be followers of Jesus Christ. We can't be part-time Christians. At this point in Peter's life, again, Mark 1, he got called. He left it all immediately. In between, all these things happened. And here in John 21, he went back to where it all started. Sometime in between, Peter had taken and went, he left the nets and now he'd gone back to them. Today in this room maybe, we even have some that you've gone back to the world. You've gone back to the way it was. And you think, hey, oh no, I'm in church today, I feel good, check it off. Folks, that's not the way it works. This is not something we can take off. There's so much passion in this room. There's passion for sport teams. There's passion for children. There's passion for hunting. There's passion for fishing. There's passion for your work. There's passion for Ukraine. There's passion for this country. There's passion. There better be passion for the church of our Lord. Sometimes it means we got to plunge ourselves back in the water. We've got to face Jesus Christ. And we've got to answer the hard questions. And we've got to be the church that God wants us to be. Before Acts chapter 2, there had to be John 21. Before we can be the church, we must be followers of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the church for a moment. I love the church. I do. I love this church. I love it so much. I wish that I was a perfect minister. I wish that I was a perfect elder. Also along the way, could wish I was a perfect husband and a perfect father, but I am not. I am imperfect in all things. I strive to do what's right, but I fail from time to time. But I wish today I could give you an object lesson of how much I love this place. The reason I love this place is because of who she is. The reason we love the church is because of who she is. There's a lot that goes in to loving the church. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "I will build my ecclesia," is what he literally meant there. Ecclesia is a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place and assembly. Jesus called together the disciples so that he could build the called out from the world. That's what you are today. When I go back to the nets, I look just like the other people. Again, please hear me out now. I'm not saying we quit our jobs. But understand the example. Peter left his nets. In John 21, he went back to them. Because in between, he forgot he was to be the called out. Today, some of us have left our first love because we forgot we were the called out. The church is, was, and will always be what Christ said she was. And here are four things that we as the church need to be today. Number one, if we're going to define the church, we need to define her as a washed people. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, and now, again, Peter, John 21 had to happen before Acts 2 did. But John 21 happened. And Peter took the keys that Jesus gave him in Matthew 16, and he's opening the doors spiritually now. In verse 37, he's preaching his heart out. An old fisherman, right? With the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Is preaching his heart out. And they stop him in the middle of it. He preached the gospel. He preached the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Y'all are the ones who killed him." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He told them to be washed. Be washed. The church, I do not have adequate words to describe it. I do not have adequate words to describe this church, this place, this people. I do not have the right words. But just know, if I could do it, it would be a lot of great beautiful words that taste good coming in the mouth and coming out of the mouth. It wouldn't be any ugly words, right? I wouldn't describe the church in an ugly way. But here's the great part about it, and it's great for us, is because a lot of us in here have done ugly things. We've sinned. We've fallen short. We mess up. We make mistakes. But because of what's behind this wall that contacts us with the blood of Jesus Christ, we can say all those beautiful things about the church today. Because we're washed. We're washed. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that long line of sins. In fact, let's just turn there and let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just a couple pages over from where you are. 1 Corinthians 6. Here's what Paul said, beginning in verse 6. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Skip down to verse 8. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. He's talking about going to law, and that shouldn't be the case. Now, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That ought to get us our attention. You know who the kingdom of God is? That's the church. That's us. Do not be deceived. Don't kid yourselves. Neither fornicators, those who have sex outside of marriage. I know we got children in here, but that should be pretty self-explanatory. Nor idolaters. That's anything that comes before God becomes an idol. That could be our cell phones. It could be sleep. It could be something, statue. It could be whatever. Work. It could be family. It could be a lot of things, right? They don't inherit the kingdom. He says, nor adulterers. Self-explanatory, I hope. Nor homosexuals. Nor sodomites. Self-explanatory. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a long list of bad things, right? Now listen to this. And such were some of you. I love Paul's boldness. He just called it like it was. He wrote him a letter and he said, listen, all these bad, and by the way, the church of Corinth had a lot of issues. But he said, all these bad things you do and all these bad people, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but guess what? So were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that beautiful? Today, if you're visiting with us and you're thinking about, hey, I'd like to join that church, well, I want you to know who we are. We're a bunch of sinners. We're people that have done things that probably would curl the hair on some people's heads. But we were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified. Today, the church defined is this: sinners striving to get to heaven. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. And we ought to be proud not to be sinners, but to be washed. To be baptized into Jesus Christ. But secondly, this morning, if I were to define the church, I would define the church as worship. What is the church? It's a bunch of washed people. What is the church? It's a place of worship. Acts 2, verses 40 through 42. And with many other things, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Hebrews 10:25.
Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some.
Johnny in his prayer. I don't know if you picked it up, but I did. He said, God, help us to understand or realize we are here to draw near.
The Hebrew writer said this. He said, you want to understand how to not fall to Hebrews 10:25?
He said, understand why you're here to begin with. You're here to draw near to God, not to be entertained.
Listen, folks, if I'm going to be entertained, I'm going to pay money and go to whatever. Today, you come as you are. You don't have to pay. Of course, we have a collection that we are required to give back to God. But this is not a concert. This is not a dance hall. This is not a ball game. This is worship to our Heavenly Father. And because of that, we're here to draw near. But then he said, you're also here to hold fast. I'm going to strengthen my grip on my confession. My kids at school, my team that we work out, we do grippers. We don't have a lot of time to do it right now. But they don't really like grippers. It's when you take a 45-pound weight in your fingertips and you hold them as long as you can. Why do we do that? We're strengthening their grip. We're strengthening that running back so he won't fumble the ball, or that receiver when he catches the ball, or that lineman when we teach him to legally hold, that they don't let go. They don't let go. Today, you are here to not let go. And then finally, we're here to consider one another, to stir up love and good works. If I get that through this thick skull, and you get it through your precious skull, okay, that we are here to draw near, hold fast, and edify or encourage one another, then I will not ever have to preach a sermon again about worship.
But unfortunately, we don't get it yet. The church is about worship.
The church is a washed people. But if I were to find the church a third way, that was third and fourth. But the church should be welcoming.
Acts 2:44-45. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all, as anyone had need. Notice, they were helping. They were welcoming. They were not saying, don't come in here. It didn't matter to them. It didn't matter. It didn't matter how much money they had. It didn't matter how many nice things they had. It didn't matter how they looked, how they talked, how educated they were, whether they were clean or not. They said, everybody's welcome. You know, it's sad, isn't it? And I'm going to date myself a little bit. This is still a little bit ahead of my time. But you remember, you may not have ever watched an episode of it, but certainly those of us old enough know the show Cheers. Cheers. You remember the theme song, if nothing else. Coming to a place where what? Everybody knows your name. You know what they're saying in that song? Hey, come here. You're welcome. We know your name. We know who you are. Take a seat. Let us know we love you. The bad thing is it was around a bar. If we could take the bar out, we ought to be Cheers today. We're a place where you should feel welcome. Where everybody, if they don't know it yet, they're striving to know your name. They love you. They encourage you. That's what the church is defined as. That's who we ought to be. And then finally, you've already seen it if you were quick enough. We got to be a place of work. It ought not be What is the church going to do for me?
You know, I'd like to go and make a lot of trips to my bank to put money in. I'd love to do that. Okay? But unfortunately, I go there and I take a lot, well, not a lot, but I take money out. And a lot of times at the end of the day, I barely have any in there, right? You can relate? Because I've done a lot of withdrawals and not a near enough deposits. Today, I would really like for us to challenge ourselves and ask us, what are we putting into the church? Not, what am I taking out of the church? You see, today's lesson, chances are it may resonate with you and it may encourage you and challenge you, but the people outside this room, hey, listen, I'd love for a lot of people to walk the aisle and let's baptize them today. But chances are not going to be the case. It's not going to be 3,000. We know that. So what today is a rally cry. It's a rally for you and it's a rally for me to challenge ourselves to be workers for the Lord, not takers from the Lord. What is the church doing for me needs to get out of our vocabulary. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, praising God and having favor with all the people. You know what God did? He added to the church daily those who were being saved. Elders, deacons, ministers, ministry leaders, teachers, members, all of us. We need to ask ourselves, are we working for the kingdom or are we expecting the kingdom to work for us? Church defined. It's a washed people. A place to worship. A welcoming home and hard workers. But you really want to know what the church defined is? It's Jesus Christ. Every one of those words and more describe our Savior. His blood washed us. Jesus understood the importance of worship. He understood what it meant to welcome. He understood what it meant to work. He loved the church so much that He died for her. Are we the church today? As we get to our last point here, it reminds me of this. You remember in the Bible they were called those of the way? You remember when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Well, what if we made that word way a question? What about you? What about me? What about you? Am I a member of the way? Am I an active member of the way? Am I one that today came and can't wait for Terry to get done? If that's the case, I am almost done. And, you know, so we can get out of here and we can go eat and we can go do this. I don't even, man, they got out Sunday afternoon for the Master. I'm not even thinking about that. I am thinking about what I can do fun today so I can get home and do. Is that my mindset today? That I came and I just checked it off? Folks, if it is, I'm pleading with you. Let's change our heart today. Let's change our mindset today. Let's not go to church today. Let's be the church today. What about you? Today, if you need to be washed, we'd love for you to walk the aisle. We'll rejoice with you just like the angels in heaven. Today, if you need to find a welcoming home, today, if you are ready to go to work, or you're ready to make your life a life of worship, the invitation is open for you, and it's open for all. Come as together we stand and sing.